John chapter 3. Let me read this account here to you, beginning in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, blows where it will, where it listeth. And you hear the sound thereof, you can't tell from where it's coming and where it's going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Are you a master of Israel, and know not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak what we know, and we testify what we've seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, you and I have such a positive message, don't we? The Bible has a positive message. The gospel is a positive message. For God so loved the world. Not animals. Does God care for oxen? God doesn't marvel, as you and I do, at his creation sometime. Look at the beautiful mountains, or, oh, I just love it up here. I just love it down south. I just love this weather. I just love this country. That don't impress him. My hands has made all these things, he said. But God loves humanity. For God so loved humanity. I think sometime if there was an ever a scripture, if there ever was a scripture that you and I have to remember who the Lord was talking to, this is one of the scriptures that we have to remember. Who was the Lord Jesus talking to? Well, he was talking here to this self-righteous theologian, a Jew. And this teacher of the Jewish people taught these two things. Here's something that he believed with all his heart. These two things. And I think when we remember what this man believed and what he taught, it will go a long ways in opening up this passage of Scripture to us. First of all, this man believed this, that God's love was limited to the Jewish nation. And he had a reason, really, to believe that. When the Lord chose Abraham's seed, he said, I've not chose you because you were many, not because you were more than other nations, but because I loved you, I chose you. I loved you. There's no nation like you. You of all the nations of the world, I've chosen, and I'm your God. I love you. And Nicodemus limited the love of God to the Jewish nation. He never could have believed that God could have loved a Gentile. They were at this time, this present time, under the tyranny, under the rule of a Roman Empire. Nicodemus never could have believed that God could have loved the Romans, that God could have loved the Asians, that God could have loved the Africans. And when the Lord Jesus, here in verse 16, told Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world," Nicodemus had to be amazed. John wrote of this world. When you see all the controversy and hear all the controversy over this word world, it's mostly John that caused all that, because he's the one that used this word so often. But John wasn't an apostle to the Jews. And when he wrote of the world, it simply meant that not to the Jew only, but to the Asians, to the Africans, to the Romans, to those in Spain. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can tell. In its scope, it reaches not to the Jewish nation only, but also to the Gentiles. Nicodemus should have known this, because the Lord had told Abraham this. Especially he told Abraham this. Remember when he called Abraham out of Mesopotamia, and he made him this promise. He preached the gospel. Paul said, the scriptures preached the gospel to Abraham. And here's the way he preached it. In thee, in your seed, in Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Not just the Jews, but all the nations of the earth. And when John saw that vision in heaven of the multitudes of people there around the throne, the spirits of just men made perfect, and a glorified humanity there in heaven. Remember what he said about them. They were from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue all over the world. They'll come from the east and from the west, and we might add to from the north and the south. From the uttermost parts of the earth have I called my children. That's the world, then. That's the world. And I think if you and I will remember here who the Lord Jesus is talking to, it'll help us to remember that He's not talking about every last individual, but He's talking about the entire world as opposed to just the Jewish nation. He's the Savior of the world. Ain't He that? And aren't you thankful for that? John said He's the propitiation for our sins, the Jews, but not for the Jews only, but for the sins of the whole world. Aren't you thankful for that? One of the best illustrations I ever heard of this, a man told one time about a particular breed of cat was about to become extinct. And somebody said, "Let's save the cat. Let's save the cat." And they saved the cat. It didn't mean they saved every last cat without exception. But in 10 years, they looked back down the road and said, "Well, we've saved the cat." Has God saved humanity? Has Christ saved the world? Absolutely He has. He saved you, hasn't He? And look yonder in heaven, those spirits of just men made perfect. And when the last child of God is redeemed, and when the graves open and heaven is populated with a glorified humanity, you know what we'll say? He saved the world. He saved the world. He's the Savior of the world. And that's why He made this statement. God so loved the world. Oh, how can it be? Love of God. Nicodemus was amazed by it, because he didn't believe that. And secondly, Nicodemus believed and taught this, that the love of God was for good people. It was for good people. It was manifest to the righteous, not bad people. And you know something about Nicodemus? He thought he was one of them. He is one of those Pharisees, the Master said, went up to the temple to pray and said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm better than everybody else. And he thought, that's why God loves me. Because God loves good people and I'm one of them. I'm a good man. Why wouldn't he love me? And I've done such good things. God loves me. Can you imagine Nicodemus' surprise when the Lord Jesus come here and told him what kind of people he was dying for? Condemned people. Perishing people. Nicodemus believed, as all the Jews believed, that Christ couldn't come until Israel had prepared itself. They kept telling, preaching to the Jews, you know, if the Messiah cannot come, the Messiah will not come until we get good enough. We got to get our house in order for the Messiah to come. Did the Messiah come because they were worthy of His coming? When He came, what did they do? He came to His own, and what did His own do? They turned Him away, didn't they? He came to His own, and His own received Him not. Did that stop Him from coming? He came despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. Did that stop Him from coming? That's why He came. Nicodemus thought He was going to come and throw off the yoke of that Roman government and set up a kingdom here upon this earth and reign in it there in Jerusalem. But he said, we've got to be prepared. We got to make ourselves ready. We got to be a good, holy people, or He won't come. Christ didn't come because they merited His coming. He didn't come because we deserved His coming. Why did He come? Great love. The Father sent Him. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I would be prepared, brothers and sisters, to say that Nicodemus knew nothing of the love of God. He knew nothing of the love of God. And if I limit it to myself, I know nothing of the heart of God. And if I say the love of God is for good people and I have to prepare myself, I know nothing of God's love. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. There's the love of God, ain't it? And when did He quicken us? When we had prepared ourselves? When we had cleansed ourselves? Or when we were dead in trespasses and sins? God commendeth His love toward us when we were dead in trespasses and sins. For His great love wherewith He loved us. He gave us life. That's love. That's unconditional love. The love of God. And I would say this poor man here knew nothing really of it. And the Lord tells him here in verse 14 that I read to you, that He wasn't coming to set up a kingdom. He wasn't coming an earthly king to sit on a throne, to throw off the yoke of the Roman government. But He gave this story to Nicodemus that I'm sure he could relate to, at least with his natural mind. He had read this. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the gospel. I was always amazed that as I look at this, and the Lord Jesus interrupted Nicodemus. He came here to flatter the Lord. That's what this was all about. We know that you're a good man. We know that you're a great man. You're a man from God. You can never do this. He was just going to go on and on flattering the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus knew what was in him. I don't need you to testify me. I know what's in you. So he stops him. And he says, you must be born again. And he confused this man. So what does he do? No sense talking about the new birth. No sense explaining any more about what it means. But what does he do? He goes right to the gospel, doesn't he? He goes right to the gospel. I've heard men try to explain the new birth, and if I had much confidence in them, I'd be convinced that I never had experienced it. But when you go to the gospel, I say, there it is. I believe the gospel. And when you believe the gospel, you can know that you've experienced a new birth. So the Lord Jesus, He leaves this doctrine of the new birth and regeneration, and He comes here and He begins to tell Nicodemus the gospel. And what does He say? Nicodemus, do you remember when the children of Israel were wandering in the land of, in that wilderness, in the desert? And they had sinned against God. They had complained because the way was rough. Would to God we had stayed down in Egypt. You brought us out here to kill us. And they sinned against God. And He sent these fiery serpents among them. And they bit the people. And a lot of them died. A lot of them died. Before that serpent was ever lifted up, a lot of people died. Before the Lord Jesus came and died on that cross, a lot of people died lost. And since He's come and died, a lot of people have died lost. Everybody's not going to be saved. But He said, take that serpent. Moses said, Lord, what can we do? He said, take you a piece of brass and make it into a serpent and hang it up on a pole. My goodness, ain't that strange? Here they were bitten by a serpent. And now He says, you've got to look to a serpent to live. God's ways are above our ways, aren't they? And everybody that was bitten by a serpent, when they looked and they beheld that serpent of brass, what happened? They lived. You know what that is? That's the new birth. When they looked, they lived. We can discuss about the new birth coming before faith or faith before the new birth. But when they looked, they lived. It confuses me when you talk about the new birth and get in great detail about it. But this don't confuse me. This straightens me out. Look and live. And that's the new birth. Don't worry about what it is until you've looked. And then when you look to Christ hanging up on a cross, you'll live. You'll live. That's the gospel that He preached to Nicodemus. There in verses 14 and 15. And he tells Nicodemus here in verse 16 and verse 19 of the poor, lost, condemned condition this world was in. And this is the reason for His coming. He has a double condemnation here, and look at it in verse 17. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why are men condemned? Well, here's the first thing. They don't believe in Christ. That's probably the greatest sin that any man can live in. We look upon people in our society that's gone off into open and profane sins. We have all kinds of drug addicts today. Homes being broken up. Adultery, fornication, drunkenness, incest. And we look down upon these people and we say, my, how awful they are. But look at the multitudes of people that you and I meet who do not believe. And we think little of it. And yet that's the very reason they live and die lost and condemned. This is the condemnation. That I am come into the world. Light is come. And here's the greatest condemnation the Lord Jesus said you'll ever be involved in. You don't believe me. Your heart doesn't bow to me. You don't trust me. Ain't that the greatest sin anybody can commit? Living in unbelief. He that believeth not. And then here in verse 19, He tells them another. This is the condemnation. Here's another condemnation. That light is come into this world, And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It's not only what men think of Christ, they don't believe Him, but here's the condemnation. They love everything that's opposed to Him. He's light, they love darkness. He's righteousness and they love sin. He's godly and they love ungodliness. Your deeds are evil and therefore you're condemned. A double condemnation. Well, who are these people? That's the kind of people the Lord came to save. Ain't that amazing? He only loves good people. We must be good. We must make ourselves good before He can save us. These aren't good people. God sent His Son not to save the righteous, but sinners. I'll never get over that, will you? I need to be taught this continually. I'm continually forgetting this. I forget it with myself. And when I go out to talk to other people, I look at people, I look at them through this lens. I can't preach to you. I can't witness to you. Why, you're a sorry man. You have no interest. You're an unbelief. You're dead in sins. And what do? We want to wait till they get better. We want to wait until they show some interest. Or until they're awakened or they're concerned. The Lord didn't come to save awakened sinners, concerned sinners. He just came to save condemned sinners. And you know something? If you and I don't take our place as that, and I don't know if we have any interest or part in this great love of God that's revealed in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What does He save us from? He saves us from this double condemnation. There was a time in your life when you didn't believe. You didn't believe Him. You weren't born with faith. You weren't born believing Him. You were without faith and you were condemned because of it. There was a time when you were dead in sins. You loved darkness. You hated the light and loved darkness. But He saved you from that, didn't He? You're the kind of people He came to save. That's the love of God, brothers and sisters. That's the love of God. And what does He save us to? He not only saves us from this double condemnation, but He saves us to everlasting life. He that believeth hath everlasting life. And you know that's a long time, ain't it? That's a long time. Everlasting life. He that believeth in Me shall never die. Never die. Throughout eternal ages, world without end, everlasting life. I always told my cousin, the Freeway Baptist preacher, you're going to have a big set of rubber lips to twist that to mean anything other than life eternal. He never gives any other kind. He that believeth in the Son hath everlasting life. I wish we could get a hold of that. It comes right back to what we talked about this morning, doesn't it? We read these things and we read these things and they don't get into our heart. We're not amazed by them until the Spirit comes. And oh, He enlightens the understanding. And then we see it in our souls. Everlasting life. We're so concerned with this temporal life, this span, this vapor that's appearing for a while, and you and I are just so concerned with it. If we could just have this to sink into our souls, we have everlasting life, eternal life. But then it's not only the length of it, it's the quality of it. It's divine life. It's a life that Christ gives, and it's what Christ is. He is the life that He gives. This life is in God's Son. He is our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Oh, that's a wonderful thing, ain't it? Because it's not just what He gives, but it's who He is. And that makes it a holy life. Good and righteous. And it's not only everlasting, but it's a deliverance from sin, never knowing any sin, to be like Him, holy and harmless, undefiled and good. Life. And the life that Christ is and gives can't be corrupted. It can't diminish, never be brought to naught. Nothing can ever enter in to corrupt it. Eternal life. And who has a right to live in the full assurance of it? He that believeth. You know the love of God is only known. There's no sense to talk about the love of God. But in this light, these two lights, number one, there's no sense talking about the love of God apart from the cross. There's no sense. It does no good. It just deceives people. For me and you to go around telling lost people, God loves you, that will do them no good. The apostles never did it. Throughout the book of Acts, you never see them doing that. Why? Why? Because the love of God is seen in the cross. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And this is manifest the love of God, because He sent His only begotten Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And for me to come to a lost person and say God loves you would only cause them to deceive themselves. Well, does He love them or not? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying no person can know the love of God but as it's viewed and known in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And secondly, the second thing about the love of God, the only ones who can know it are believers. Are believers. It's only revealed to them. We have known and believe the love that God has to us. To who? His children. Believers. You know what the message is to the lost? You know what the message is to them? Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not to go to lost people and say, God loves you. Well, if God loves me, it's okay. Isn't that what they're saying in our day? Everything's fine if He loves me. I'll just go off and live in my sin. I don't have anything to worry about. And they go off and deceive themselves. The message to lost people is this, and you find this in the book of Acts. God has sent His Son. He's died for the ungodly. He's punished sin. And God has raised Him and exalted Him at His right hand. He's Lord of all. Now bow to Him. Turn from yourself. Turn from your sin. Repentance towards God. Change your mind towards God. Turn to Him and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message to the lost people. And then, and only then, can they begin to sing, He loved me, even me. He gave Himself for me. These things have I written unto you that believe, and nobody else but to you that believe. And you know something, brothers and sisters? We preach this message to the world, every individual. This love, this great love of God has caused missionaries to leave their families, leave their jobs, and borrow money to go off into some foreign country to preach this gospel. The love of God is wider than Newcastle, Indiana. The love of God extends to Mexico and extends to Russia and extends to Canada and all these other tribes and nations and kindreds of this earth. And knowing that, they left everything and went off to preach this gospel. But you know something, in spite of all that? Every individual in this world is not going to believe this gospel. They're not going to. But here's something encouraged. Whosoever will, let him believe. And I'm like old Todd and Howard. I'm glad he didn't say Bruce Crabtree. Aren't you? You glad he didn't say turn? Maybe another turn somewhere. Whosoever. If you will, then come and take of this water of life freely. Do you want him? Do you need him? Then come to him. Whosoever believeth in him. This door is wide open. It's wide open. Whosoever. But it's whosoever believeth in him. In him. That's a positive gospel, ain't it? It don't shut anybody out. Takes everybody in that wants to come in on his term. And you and I love it. You and I love it. And we praise him for bringing us to meet his term. Lord, save you on his terms. On his terms. He'll do it. You come and try him, if you will. And see if he'll not save you on his term. He'll do it. Gracious Father, oh our Father, we call you our Father because you are in our Lord Jesus. Let us see more of this great love, this unconditional love, this love that paid it all, this redeeming love. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for giving yourself, all of yourself, for our awful badness, for our sins. What great love. Let us know it. This love that passeth knowledge. Let us know it. And not only us, but let many know it. Oh, Lord, call many to yourself. Open hearts of many. For Christ's sake, amen. Amen. Brother Bob, would you